Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. They come. Wait, see.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever Player Profile. I am here with Uriah, just Uriah, not just Uriah. I think I gave you a hard time about this last time we were on a show.
I think so, yeah.
This is so one of my first jobs. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but this is the worst introduction. Let's talk about me as I introduce the guest.
Go for it, man.
You were not allowed to say just because it was a negative word. And Uriah, I have to kind of agree with her. And I think that you are so much more than just Uriah. Host of the Dynasty Underdog, killing it over there. Fun to watch you guys do your thing. Some Trey McBride today.
Yes.
So, first of all, like, what made you take some steps into Devy?
Honestly, so my very first Dynasty startup was, I think it'd be about 4 years ago. And the same guys who run that league started a Devy league. And I was like, well, if I want to get better at Dynasty, maybe I should hop into Devy. Turns out I'm not that great at Devy, unlike everybody else you're going to have on the show. But I thought, you know, it would help me kind of get familiar with these players before they hit the Dynasty radar. So a buddy of mine was like, hey, let's co-own this team together. I'm like, oh, I'm totally willing to do that. Like, I can't take on a full Devy team by myself. Like, I just don't know enough. But if we could put our minds together, maybe we could make this fun. So my podcast co-host, Billy Beeman, he and I own a Devy team together. So
yeah, and that's it. Like we said, Dynasty Underdog.
Yes.
The interesting thing about Devy, like if you look at any of my Devy teams, I have no Devy players. I have no college players. I have no nothing. I've traded them away, all the picks to acquire them. I've traded them away. I'm like the anti-Devy. I'm in there just to like play against your rules and trade them for points because I do understand the relationship that some of those Devy people get with some of their players. So I've been able to be more successful at actually just moving on from some of those assets and then just, you know, sometimes work your way through the draft a little bit with some of your picks if you have some, because some guys fall through the cracks. We've seen that in many years past. But I love rookies. And I love this time of year and the rookie fever. You actually reached out to me, and I'm stoked that you did. But yeah, I'm kind of an anti-Devy. Like, and people might be surprised, you know, being this is the Rookie Fever podcast. I love my Devy leagues, but I play a little differently, I've noticed. And I'm not saying I play better. I don't know if I've won a Devy league yet, to be fair. Oh, I did. I won back to back. Back to back. And then they folded the league.
Oh, well.
That's a story for another time.
You know, they probably just got rid of you and found another guy to fill in because they're tired of losing. You know what I mean?
I've wondered. it was an interesting end to, but yeah, that was a Devy start two tight ends. And I totally won it by defying the tight ends and the Devy. And just
traded the college guys for guys who were scoring points.
Yep. And had a bunch of mediocre tight ends that I just kind of play in. And but
yeah, man,
ain't enough wrong about with that. Me. I mean, goodness sakes. This is like the worst introduction I've given in a while.
No, but it's good. You've been great.
I just play a little differently. I guess that's what I'm saying. But so that's what I recommend to you. If you don't love it, you know, take advantage of what they love about it and build your teams that way, you know, and go get some Brandon Cooks and different guys like that. And they can go get guys that just ran really fast.
Cause those guys always work out, right?
Yeah.
That's good, man. I'll tell you, I think our first, Devy pick it might've been our very first Devy pick. I told my buddy Billy, I was like, there's no way we could leave this draft without Max Borgi. We have to get Max Borgi. He's going to be the next Christian McCaffrey. that tells you just about as much as I know about Devy.
You got him? Did you get him?
Yeah, we have him.
You got your guy.
We got our guy, and I do love him. So
yeah. So how did you feel? First of all, why did you pick Trey McBride?
Dude, this is a great story. So, you know, everyone likes to be like, oh, yeah, I knew him. I went to school with him, or I grew up around that person. Like, somebody that's famous, right? Because we're obviously not famous ourselves. But Trey McBride, he went to school at Fort Morgan High School in Morgan County, Colorado. That's where I grew up. You know, my sister graduated from there, and it just kind of like, I am familiar with that territory. Everybody thinks about Colorado, and they think, you know, Rocky Mountain High and all this stuff. But no, this is northeastern Colorado. I'm talking tumbleweeds, cornfields, sugar beets, alfalfa. Like, this is like farm community. This town, Fort Morgan, when I was there, I haven't been there since 2002. But I think it's probably less than 20,000 people that live in the whole entire town. But I was there from the age of 1 to 17. Like, that's where I grew up. And so seeing him come out of that town, I'm like, I kind of felt, you know, like where I knew where he's coming from. Like, I'm not saying he's out there baling hay or plowing fields and shit because it's all a bunch of farmers. But, like, I knew where he grew up, right? It's humble. And on top of that, there's another tight end that came from the very same high school that my sister went to school with, Joel Dreesen. I think he would have graduated in 2000, and he got drafted to the NFL. I think he played for the Houston Texans, and I think he finished off his career playing for the Denver Broncos. So it's just kind of like a personal attachment to this guy. And that was kind of like one of the first things I thought about when I wanted to pick Trey McBride, is like, I know where he comes from.
Yeah. Dude, that makes total sense, especially when you end up being such a stud.
Yes.
Honestly, at the position, because it's not just like you picked like tight end 12 in the class, because there's a lot of buzz around all the tight ends in the class right now.
Sure.
We'll get to that a little bit. I have to allude back to the alfalfa.
Oh, alfalfa.
Like, what the hell do you do with alfalfa? I've heard of alfalfa, and alfalfa sprouts. I'm ignorant.
Alfalfa is what you feed horses and what you feed cows and stuff. It's hay.
Ah.
Yeah, so it grows.
It's not for me.
I mean, you know, I think they make like alfalfa milk or something that humans drink, but, you know, I ain't about that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. we'll let the cows and the horses have the alfalfa.
I had mentioned the sugar beets, and in the town over, the same county, Morgan County, Brush Beet Diggers is the high school I went to. Yeah, their mascot's called the Beet Diggers. Literally digging up sugar beets.
That's how like serious it is there.
Yeah, dude. So yeah, the whole, it's just a different feel if you grew up there. That's all I'm saying.
So how did you feel about the combine?
Dude, the combine's cool. You know, I like when people refer to it as the underwear Olympics. Like, I don't know how much it matters. I don't know. Like, how do you feel? Like, do you think it actually matters if Chris Olave ran a 4.26? Like, if you watch him on tape, he's pretty good.
I think it's a part of the process. I think it's a tool that we will use. We're going to hear it a lot for years to come. There's still landing spot and opportunity, you know, as well as doing other homework, like listening to the Rookie Fever player profiles. You know, we mentioned Campus to Canton. We mentioned Brandon Lejeune before we hit record, a couple of those guys. You know, I think there's a lot of different parts of the process, seeing what kind of opportunities they had in college and how they did with them. You know, hit up Dave Wright's database. I think there's a lot of different tools and parts to the process, and I do think this is part of it. I think that as important as all these tools are, if you dig too deep, you're going to redo a lot of work after they're drafted. And I think that's part of it. But you want to also remember how smart you feel today and not get like too into somebody like CEH because of a landing spot. You know what I mean? So you do want to remember things from today, but those landing spots are important, and trying to create a narrative for an opportunity is very important as well. And that's when I think the real deep diving kind of takes place for some of us once we're hitting our rookie drafts, which is going to be coming up so soon, actually. But, but I do think it's important. It's really fun. So I don't want to, I don't even want to crap on anybody that's getting too excited about anything because it's such a fun time of year just to have. And I totally understand why people get excited while they're watching it and they see their guy perform well and they're like, hell yeah. And then some of us that may not like that guy and they're just like, oh yeah, speed's everything. Like, oh, yeah, look at all these other speed guys that didn't make it, you know, but then your guy is fast and you care, you know, so I get it, man. Like, dude, and it's just a fun time of year. I love it, you know, so, but I do think it's an important tool, part of the process for us,
yeah, absolutely.
You just got to be careful.
You do, you know, I mean, every year we see, you know, slow, quote unquote, slow running backs actually become pretty successful. And it's like, if they don't run a 4.4, it's like all of a sudden people are like, oh man, you know, I'm out on him. It's like, yeah. Well, you know. Typically, yeah. If they run a 4.5 or 4.6, like, you know, those guys actually do have a lot of success. But, like, right. I don't know. Everybody wants, like, fast.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
And it's nice if you can get them on the right team situation, you know.
Sure.
Because some quarterbacks aren't comfortable throwing unless you're wide open, which is another problem in the NFL. But, I mean, like Bryan Edwards, for example. Like, that dude needs somebody that's just not afraid to throw the ball. Not – you know what I mean? Not Derek Carr, who wants the open guy every time. I mean, it's great to have an open guy. Don't get me wrong. But you look at what happens when he does throw to Bryan Edwards. So you have to find those situations too. Like, can this guy that can't create separation make it with a quarterback that's afraid to throw the ball unless you're wide open? You know, like, so I think there's a bunch of pieces of the puzzles in it. It's going to keep unfolding. And I think free agency is a big part of it. I think there's so many things. So that I don't know. Yeah. That's a whole nother. We should do a super flexible podcast. There's, I get too off the rails on these.
It's all good, man. I'm always available.
So this is an easy one, but we'll just get to it. But with Trey McBride, what are some things that you think he does well that's going to make him excel in the NFL?
Well, you know how every team fan base, unless you have like one of those top five tight ends, is like, you know, yeah, he's good, but he can't block, or, you know, he's a good blocker, but he doesn't really catch that well, or whatever. Trey McBride does both. He does both very well. And I think that for NFL teams, that's going to be very important. You saw the interview with him during the combine, and he's talking about how he said run blocking came first. And so that's just like, you know, that hits the jackpot for an NFL teams looking for a tight end that can do it all. He's got great hands. He lines up in the slot. He lines up at H-back. He lines up wide. He does it all. And so for a player like that, what was the question? No, for a player like that, man, he's just going to be successful. He just really is the all-around tight end. He's not a oversized wide receiver. He's not a Mike Gesicki. No, he's not a big, just only blocking tight end. Like, he has hands. He has hands, and he's not afraid to use them. He does it all, man. He's going to be successful day one.
I heard a landing spot today that I didn't like.
Okay.
And that was Detroit. And most of that was just because of Hockenson. But people were saying if he fell to the Lions around like their pick 32, or I think they have a 34, that they could foreseeably take him there. Do you think he falls that far?
That's a good question. The thing about Trey McBride, he was at the Senior Bowl. And the team that was responsible for coaching his side of the Senior Bowl, I forget kind of how it works, but it was the New York Jets. The New York Jets, I think, pick 38, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty popular over the next few weeks. But if Trey McBride gets out of the first round, which to me, if he went in the first, I would not be surprised. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is how much I love the guy, but he's not going to get past the Jets in the second. I don't see it. He was making catches at the combine in front of Jets.
Yeah.
Personnel, and he was getting coached all through the Senior Bowl by Jets front office personnel. The whole Detroit thing doesn't make sense. Hockenson's fine. I don't know why they needed Trey McBride.
Yeah.
They could get a blocking tight end.
Take him as early as 10? I think they have a 10th overall pick. They have like 4 and 10, don't they?
No. I mean, I love Trey McBride, but I think that's silly. You know, I'm not out on Zach Wilson yet. You know, I know a lot of people are wishy-washy in that quick, but like, I think he's fine. I think he could be fine. I think getting a guy like Trey McBride for him would be great, but like in that first round, you might want to go ahead and get yourself a stud offensive lineman if I were them.
What about, does any Dallas like homerism come out for that pick 24 there?
Oh man, after today is the day with the Amari Cooper news. yes. saying he might get cut, could get cut. We don't know. But Dalton Schultz is a free agent. We just found out Blake Jarwin had hip surgery, so we are in the tight end market, maybe. I still would not feel comfortable with my team selecting a tight end in the first round, personally.
No?
No.
Would you buy the jersey?
I might. Yeah, I like this kid a lot, dude. Might buy the jersey, but yeah, pick 24. I hope Dallas does something else.
All right.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's your opportunity to take him.
Yeah, I know. But if he's there in a second, we better grab him.
Yeah, but like you said, probably not getting past the Jets.
I doubt it. I really
they're
do.
Loaded.
Yep, I really doubt
the
it.
The Jets are loaded with picks. They could even trade up if they wanted to a little bit there.
Yep.
So those are some last landing spots. Kind of that draft capital. It sounds like you're not quite comfortable with 24 to your team, probably because of needs, but then probably not getting past like 40, 45.
I don't think so. There's a website I use, grindingthemocks.com. They kind of compile mock drafts from, you know, hundreds of analysts, fans, and whatnot. And I think they probably have them going somewhere around like the second round. So
a super well-rounded player, good blocker, can catch the ball, probably going to see some playing time. What are some questions or concerns that you would have about that player?
So one of the things, you know, I'm not the best film watcher. I try. I think we all try. But to me, when he's going up, his catch radius, like his arms seemed short to me. Like when he's catching the ball, when he's stiff arming somebody, it's extended and he's putting dudes in the dirt. And you could tell he likes it.
It's those beats.
I kind of thought he had a small catch radius, in my opinion. It looked like it. But, you know, after the combine and everything else, measurables, like, he's pretty average there. What I did see a lot was him taking on defensive ends and stuff. And, like, he's good enough blocker. He could put some dudes in the ground. But also, he loses his fair share of battles, too, if I'm being honest. Like, he's got to work on that a little bit better.
And that's in college.
And that's in college, yeah. So, and he played for Colorado State. It's not like this is not the SEC. So, there he's not winning every battle there. He is losing his fair share, too, so.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's willing, which helps. But
he's willing. And if he's willing to take on that role and he can succeed on it, I mean, I know it's almost cliche to even say, but that will keep you on the field. And then if he can do the other things too, he could become a dominant tight end in the league. And I'm not saying like Kyle Pitts, you know, but.
Yeah, no, I don't know, man. Like, honestly, something that like would make me pretty happy is if he had to. Rookie season similar to Freiermuth, which was a really good. I think we'd be talking a lot more about Freiermuth if Kyle Pitts wasn't around. He had a damn good year for a rookie.
He did.
And
absolutely.
I honestly believe Trey McBride could have a similar type stat line, you know, maybe 50 catches, 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, something
like that. Buffalo.
Dawson Knox, man, we can't be saying that. We're going to ruin the Dawson Knox hype. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't have any Dawson Knox shares, so doesn't hurt me.
Doesn't hurt you. Yeah,
but no, I mean, if they had a nice run blocker there to add to the O line with Josh Allen, honestly, what I think Buffalo needs a running back. So
yeah,
I was just trying to think sold of a on team.
You're not sold on Zach Moss, Devin Singletary?
No,
no,
I'm not. I think that they are. Admiral, if we were going to like give them a grade, I think that we'd probably give them a C. They've done well with their talents, I think, for the situation. Mm-hmm. But I think that team, and I know they have other needs too. I'm not saying this is going to be the move that they make, but for how good that team is, the next step, once they need a running back that can take some pressure off of Josh Allen.
They do. I agree.
I don't think Singletary's that guy. And it seems like they favored him over Zach Moss this year. To my surprise, like if you were listening to Rookie Fever in the Zach Moss, I did think that Zach Moss was probably going to overtake Singletary, but it hasn't happened. And I don't think Singletary's been that great. So that tells you how they feel about the backfield. I think they need somebody.
I think they do too.
Maybe even Kareem Hunt. So in the right system, year one, what do you think his ceiling would be?
Yeah, kind of like I had mentioned, I think – you're one for tight ends, man. You know as well as I do.
So yeah,
Pat Freiermuth. Like if he has that kind of season, I will be ecstatic. 50 catches.
Do you feel like he's the consensus tight end one in the class now after the combine?
Probably after the combine, man. And, you know, that's the thing. We all do this. You get your guy, you get him, like, a lot sooner than everybody else, whatever. Like, I was on Trey McBride last year because he popped up in a Spaceman's database or something. He had, like, I think he caught every single touchdown for Colorado State in 2020. I'm like, this Dominator rating is amazing. Who is this guy? So I've been waiting a year to, like, talk about him. But it had been Windermeyer for, like, a long time. And I think after the combine, after that catch he made a CeeDee Lamb-type catch. You know, he jumped up in the air, extended his arms, turned around, boom, full body control, and snagged that thing out of the air. And I think everyone was like, this dude is beast. And so, to your question, I think, yeah, after the combine, I think McBride's probably consensus tight end one. But I don't really think it was that way a month ago.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I feel like today, this show's a little behind some of our conversation, guys. But today, I think I noticed a lot of, like, tight end buzz. And I think that if people go too deep into that with this rookie class, that they could have too high of hopes for what tight ends could really do for them, in especially like even just year one. But
yes.
I think Trey McBride is the tight end one in the class. I think that that's the way it's going to end up going. Who is your guy in this draft?
Well, I'm here on Rookie Fever, player profile edition, talking about Trey McBride. So. But if it's not him, it's
it
not
could
him.
Be him.
I got two favorites. I got Sky Moore and Chris Olave. And we've done on my podcast, we've talked about those guys too. I really like Chris Olave a lot last year, but he went back to school. He didn't declare early. And I do my best to try to like hit the analytics side of things. And I know we want to ignore it, but being an early declare does matter when it comes to hit rates and things like that. So Chris Olave, I love him so much, but I know that his chances of succeeding are just a little bit less based on historical data.
Mm-hmm.
But Sky Moore, Chris Olave, those are my guys.
Sky Moore.
Sky Moore, dude. Kalamazoo. He's got hands.
He's from Western Michigan University. That's my town.
There you go,
and
man. He should be your guy.
He looked pretty good at the combine.
Yes, he did. He did. I didn't expect that either, but he did great.
I got a little worried because he's kind of been, I want to say, a little bit under the radar. And I think that he changed that. So we'll see, man.
Yeah, I had put out a tweet. I kind of want to get Elijah Moore, Rondell Moore, and Sky Moore all on the same team.
So while you and Billy are running your Devy team together, things like that, do you have guys that you'll start to see and you might want to try to go and get from other people before, like, things like this and the hype happens? Like, even maybe, I mean, you already mentioned, but he's not too high on Jameson Williams, it didn't sound like, so that might be tough to talk him into. I'm trying to think of somebody else though. Like, do you wish you would, do you have Sky Moore, or do you wish that maybe you went after him before today?
I do. As far as Devy goes, I think probably our weakness is not trying to jump on those things earlier. Cause I mean, really we're dynasty focused more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when I'm starting to get into my Devy team and acquiring Devy players, not through the Devy draft, it's kind of the same time that these guys are getting hyped up for, you know, the NFL combine. So I think that is probably a weakness in how we run our Devy team, is that I should probably be paying attention a little bit more, trying to get on these guys early on. It's a good point.
I mean, I sometimes try. I'm not saying I'm super proactive at it either. I kind of told you how I run my team. So I'm maybe, especially to some of these, the real true Devy heads, like, mm-hmm. I'm probably late to most parties anyway, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Anybody you've looked at so far in this draft class that you're staying away from, even if it's because of, like, the value you're seeing going into it? And it can't be Jameson Williams just because of Steeman Beeman.
Steeman Beeman. No, I mean, and I don't even, you know, I don't even have super strong feelings about Jameson Williams in the first place, because when he transferred to Alabama, he blew up. He did what he was supposed to do. He wasn't able to do that behind Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave for whatever reason. But I think one of the guys I'm trying to stay away from is Johan Dotson. He's getting mocked in the first round a lot, and I just don't see it. I don't see it on the spreadsheets, and I don't see it on film, me personally. But for whatever reason, the NFL seems to like him. It's like a, you know, Josh Palmer, he got drafted last year, and I don't know if you felt the same way I did, but when they drafted him, I'm like, who? And then I looked at his production, and I think he caught like 99 balls in his entire NFL career. I'm like, this guy is not anybody I would want any part of. And so I think Johan Doxson, he kind of gives me the same feels. I will absolutely not draft him.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what's going to come out, but I'm guessing by the time it does, we're somewhere within a lot of free agency talk. But I think part of the problem with Palmer is everybody's just assuming that Mike Williams is going to be done there. But I think Mike Williams probably stays there. I think that's the best fit for Williams and a great fit for the Chargers. And I think that I kind of want to move on from Palmer because of some of that buzz. I think that you'll know when he does have the opportunity. But again, just even if Mike Williams walks, it doesn't mean they're probably going to get another wide receiver. So
yeah,
I don't know some of my Palmer shares, but I would agree with you that like I don't think it's going to be quite what people are expecting.
No, it's kind of similar to what's going on with. It's like you can't get one day on Twitter without somebody talking about Gabriel Davis, but it's the same thing. We've kind of learned over the years that, you know, how targets get distributed. And it's based on talent, and you kind of, again, they're earned, right? You know, just mm-hmm. like some people say, you know, targets aren't just laying around. Just because Mike Williams might possibly leave in free agency doesn't mean that Palmer's going to take Mike Williams' right. role. Palmer's going to have Palmer's role. He's going to be Josh Palmer. Same with, like, I think Gabriel Davis is probably going to be Gabriel Davis. Probably. We don't know for sure. I mean, I could be completely wrong about him.
But like, and I think they could have some better games, but I think there'll be those wide receivers that are hard to completely trust putting in your lineup. Like they might have a certain ceiling each week. I think part of it with Josh Palmer and certain players like that is people want to find the cheapest way to be attached to Justin Herbert. Like you have aging Keenan Allen and that's going to go away. So you won't be as attached as long. Don't quite want to pay for that. Mike Williams, you know, if they sign, I think people will want to get attached to that a little bit more. But I think they want to find a cheap way to be. It's kind of like how people like to get attached to, like, the Chiefs and the 49ers and, like, certain offenses. I think that people are trying to find a cheap way to be attached to Herbert. I think Herbert drives Palmer's value up just by being around him and people liking Herbert a lot right now.
You're right. And I don't think that's a bad strategy when it comes to like good offenses is to, you know, maybe take the cheaper value or the one that costs the least. I don't think that's a terrible decision. Oftentimes.
Yeah. It's a tough one, man. I almost think like, why not just move on? You talked me into moving on. I think
he had 99 catches in college, bro.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, so. I don't know, but there's value there and that's a whole different discussion. So.
Yep. So he's like the Antonio Gibson of wide receivers. Not really a whole lot of college production, but he's got like a certain amount of value.
He does. We could talk about him too if you want. Oh gosh.
Uriah like rolls his eyes at me.
I know.
What's some strategy that you could give either going into rookie drafts, Devy drafts, maybe even just like some life advice if you want to give some final thoughts on something that you're doing or something that you think people should do?
Man, that's a weighted. I don't know how much time you have, but
the world.
If you're heading
yours.
Into your rookie drafts, I would say listen to every single one of Rookie Fever's Player Profile Edition rookie draft conversations because everybody that's on the show, I'm not even trying to be modest. They're smarter than me. They watch these guys. They know more, and they're going to give you nuggets of information about these players that you can't find anywhere else. Because people that come on the show, they pick who they want to talk about. So they're, you know, passionate some sort of way about it. So definitely start there.
No, that's so true. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a nice thing about it is a lot of the people, they are picking players that they really feel passionate about. We've had a couple people pick a player because they didn't like him too much. It was a total turn to even like us as the hosts, but it makes it for another kind of fun, interesting show still the same. And then, like, even to hear some different guys, the conversation, like, you heard here today goes all over the place from tons of smart people, like, not just Uriah. Is that taken? Not just Uriah?
No, just Uriah. And one last thing of advice, I think, you know, if you got some players that are a little bit newer to Dynasty, and that's kind of what we cater to on our pod, but man, do not let an NFL quarterback who was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft leave your rookie draft you know, undrafted in the first draft. Draft him. Justin Herbert, Mac Jones. I know he's not super great for fantasy, but do it. Yeah. If the NFL's drafting him in the first, he should be going in the first in your rookie drafts.
No, I hear you.
Yeah.
Definitely check out all the people that we've alluded to as well. Like he said, check out those people that are putting out that content, the Rookie Fever player profiles. Like, go follow them as well. Definitely check out Dynasty Underdog. They'll be talking about this stuff. I know Willie's been doing some stuff too, some articles and whatnot. I'm sure you guys are talking about that a lot too. It's hard to avoid this time of year. Check out Dynasty Underdog. I think you should 5-star review them. End this show. I'm at Swagzilla0G. He is at Just Uriah. But it's the most positive just. It's not negative.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate you, man. Thanks a ton for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We are at Rookie Fever, and we are out.
Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before and run. I showed you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. Now we give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
Now you got the fever.
Now you got the fever.